But just to start by summarizing that, everybody that comes to this earth, boy, girl, man, woman, has a gifting that God has prepared for them to walk in. And we'll look at those. So that's why I've kind of like picked this as the main topic. But we'll look at this in more detail. So for today, I'm going to do the third part of the series. And I'm going to be looking at five things today. The first thing I want to look at is the difference between natural talent from a gifting perspective and the supernatural gifts of God. We'll look at that. Then I'll look at why are we gifted? Why does God gift people? Why does God enable people? We'll look at that. The third thing we'll look at is what happens when we neglect our gifts from God's perspective. The fourth thing I'll look at is knowing our gifts and increasing in them. Because I think oftentimes we just find that some people might say, I'm not gifted in anything at all, and I'm just going to relax and sit down. So fourthly, we'll look at knowing and increasing in our gifts. And the last part that I'll look at is the first step into entering into God's gift for us. All right. So I'm going to start with the first one, which is natural talent versus God's supernatural gift. So I looked in the dictionary online for the word, the definition of the word gifted. And this was the definition that I saw online. And I think I mentioned it a couple of Sundays ago. So to be gifted means to have, it's defined as having exceptional talent and natural ability. Having exceptional talent and natural ability. So what that means is, this is looking at gifting from a natural perspective. There are some people who are naturally talented in maybe playing football or maybe cooking or different things. And in that respect, there are certain things that we find easy to do that other people might not necessarily find to be that easy to do. You know, I think I gave an example a couple of Sundays ago that when I was much younger, I tried to dabble into football, not, you know, at the national level or anything like that. And I realized that each time I went to play football then when I was much younger, I never got picked for the five-a-side teams. They always left me on the bench. And I think I grew to realize that my ball skills weren't really that, and I just gave it up. Meanwhile, there were other people who, you know, they could, you know, dribble with the ball, make it sing, tap it upside down, and they were naturally gifted in that. And so we have different areas that, to you as a person, it's easy, but to somebody else, it might not be that easy to do that thing. So from a natural perspective, that is what gifting is defined as. However, what I want to distinguish here is between our natural giftings, natural talents that everybody has one thing or the other that they're good at. I want to distinguish that from God's supernatural giftings. And I'm going to look at three areas. Let's look at the book of Daniel chapter 1, verse 17 to 20. Daniel chapter 1, verse 17 to 20. So don't worry, we'll display it on the screen so we can see what this is really referring to. It says, to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the set time by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar, and the king talked with them and found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. So they entered into the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than the magicians, enchanters, and the whole in his whole kingdom. So we have a scenario here where there were this group of boys who had been captured from their hometown in Israel, and they were taken to a foreign country. And in that foreign country, the king said, okay, out of all these foreigners that are here, I want you to pick some of them that are, you know, that will serve in my kingdom, and I want you to educate them. So these boys, the Bible tells us, were taken, and they were educated over a period of time along with everybody. But something was different about them. And this is where I begin to talk about God's supernatural gifting. We read here, it says that God gave them knowledge and understanding in all literature. So we begin to see here that there's the natural, if we look at it from an, if we look at the academic perspective, someone can be naturally very brilliant. They read something and they understand it straight away. I'm not talking about that. In this instance, it says that God gave them this supernatural giftings to have understanding and knowledge. So what this is telling us is that from an academic perspective, God can give someone a special gifting that they, you know, they just understand things so quickly and so uniquely. And maybe it wasn't something that they were born with, you know. I'm sure thinking about this, maybe one would just say, well, I wish God could give me the gift to play like, wasn't that guy, is it Ronaldo or someone, so I can, well, I'm not quite sure God would do that. But what I'm just saying is that this was not something that these guys were born with. It was something that God just gave them as a gift. And automatically, their knowledge just, and their ability to understand just skyrocketed. And he said that these guys were better than everybody in the kingdom in that time in terms of knowledge. And they were young guys. Now, another one is this. Let's look at Acts chapter 4, verse 13. So what I'm trying to distinguish here is between natural giftings and the fact that God can actually just give you a gift just like that, and it will just excel straight away without you having the natural ability. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. I'll read this portion of scripture. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, and they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that they had been with Jesus Christ. Now, the scenario behind this was that Jesus had been crucified, and at that time, when they came to grab Jesus, his disciples ran away. So, Jesus had resurrected, and he had shown himself to them, to his disciples. Then these guys now went about preaching, Peter, John, and all these people. But there was something that happened to them. When people saw them and heard the way they preached about God, about Jesus Christ, they were puzzled because they said, look, hang on, these guys did not go to the special seminary and they know so much about God, about Christ, and they said they did something. They took notes because they had been with Jesus. So we can begin to see that even in terms of the knowledge of the Bible, well, it's good if you want to go to Bible school and seminary, that's fine. But we realize here that God can give you and I an understanding of the Bible just by reading it in our houses at home and studying it. God can give us understanding of it to the point that it would appear that it would seem as if we went to university to study the Bible. Meanwhile, no, we haven't. It's just God giving you and I that gifting to understand the Bible. So that's what happened in the scenario of these guys. People saw them and they were like, wow, how come these guys know so much about God? But they said they took note. They said these guys were unschooled, ordinary men. So what they were trying to say is like, these guys are just ordinary people. There's nothing special about them. They haven't gone through any special training. But yet, their knowledge of Christ is so, you know, so deep. So the second thing we see is I'm trying to distinguish between natural talent and the spiritual giftings that God gives a man or a woman. Now, I'll read the last part. Then I'll move to the next part. 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 6. So the first supernatural giftings we've seen is in the book of Daniel in terms of knowledge. The second one in the book of Acts in terms of understanding the things of God. Now, this is just an extract of a story that I'll tell in a minute. It says, when Saul heard these words, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power and he burned with anger. Now, it's quite a long story, but I just took this out to make a point. Now, if we read this 1 Samuel chapter 11, we'll find out that this man was the king of Israel. He was the first king of Israel, and he was such a timid man. In fact, the Bible says that when they named him as king, he went and hid. So they had to look for him and drag him out and say, "You are the king," because he was so timid. Can you imagine, looking on the television, they want to do the royal coronation of the next king of England, and everybody's saying, "Where's the king? Where's the king?" You know, and the person is hiding because he's like, "Man, I can't handle this." This man was so timid that he ran away. But something happened to him. If we read the whole of 1 Samuel chapter 11, the Bible says that God did something to this man and he changed. He became a courageous leader. In fact, the Bible says here that he led the people to war. He was angry because some other people had tried to oppress their neighbors. And he said, "What? This is happening around me, and let's go." This was a man that previously was hiding when they wanted to make him king. So we see here that in terms of leadership ability as well, God can make someone who is timid, someone who is shy, or someone who has no skills in the area of leadership, and he can gift them just in a second. And suddenly, something happens to them and they become leaders in that area. So I guess the point I'm just trying to make here initially is the fact that there's natural ability that people are born with from a gifting perspective. But however, there is the supernatural side of gifting now that God gives us. Now the next thing I want to look at is, why does God gift people in this sense? Now, I'm not talking about natural ability here. I'm talking about God gifting a person supernaturally. Why does God do that to us? That's what we'll look at. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Now, that 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness." So God says here, we read here in the Bible that, look, for everybody that is born, God gives us giftings in two areas. He says for life, that is everything you need to live, and for godliness, everything that you do within the context of the church. That's why God gives us giftings. Now, there's something that God also does for us. And that is, if we look at the book of... Okay, let's leave that. So what I'm just saying is that God gives us giftings to live our lives normally as Christians, to empower us to achieve the things we want to achieve and in the context of the church. So what this means in the reality of it is that if, for example, this is not in church now, there's a job that I need to do, or there's a career I need to follow. Maybe I want to be like a cook. I want to be like an engineer. I want to be a plumber. I want to be an electrician or whatever. And I'm just not, I feel that, look, I don't even have the first clue. Or I want to be a MasterChef cook. You know, we're watching this MasterChef program on the television yesterday. And I was telling my kids that maybe I should enroll. But they just said, "Dad, forget it. So let's even assume that there was something I wanted to do. Anybody that's a Christian, and you just look within yourself and you're just like, "Look, there's no way I can do this thing in my natural strength." Do you know that you can pray and you can trust God that God can give you the ability that you need in that area? I remember that, and I think I've given this example. There have been times that I've been at work, oftentimes, and I'm given a problem to solve. And in some of those offices that I worked, if you don't get the problem, just know that, just resign before you're asked to, really. You know, just resign quickly before you're, because it's either it works or it doesn't work. So if you come the first time and say, okay, this thing is not working, they might give you some leverage. Okay, no problem. You come the second time, it's not working. You come the third time, it's not working. I mean, somebody's going to ask you the question, Why are we paying you? You might as well just. And I've been in those situations where there are things that I had to get working and it just didn't work. And this scripture will come back to me. And what do? I just pray. I pray for God's wisdom and understanding in that particular situation. And more times than not, suddenly I will understand the thing that I'm meant to do. So God gives us the things we need for life. But I think a lot of people don't really apply that. They think, look, God is only when I'm in church on a Sunday that God has anything to do with me. No. Every day of your life, God can give you this wisdom and help you in every area of life that you need help. Then godliness. This talks about our lives as Christians. God gifts us as well to be able to live the Christian life. And I'll look at that later as well. So what that means is that, for example, in the church, you have people who are pastors like myself. You have people who maybe do the technical bit, people who sing, people who do all sorts, who usher. Do you know that God can gift, or should I say not can, God gifts us to do those things as well? And I was mentioning that, I don't know if it was last week or so, that God gifts people to be pastors. So I'm a pastor. And one thing about pastors is not just about preaching. I think pastors that are gifted as pastors, they can take a lot of insults, so to speak. I'm telling you. And you won't believe the amount of insults that I've had to take sometimes as a pastor, just minding my business, trying to preach the gospel. And funny enough, nowadays, it doesn't really bother me. In fact, I don't know how to explain it. It's just like I even feel compassion and sorry for people sometimes who are abusing me in my face. Now, if I rewind that 25 years ago when I was maybe in university, dare not tell me that. You talk to me like that, I will give you a piece of my mind properly. But now that God has, gifted me to be a pastor, naturally now, there are certain things that I just take it because, well, human beings are human beings. But that's not a natural gift. Do you understand? It's something that God has put in me. And even, with singing and all these things, even the guys that do the projector and the stuff that they do, I mentioned last week that they are not left out of it, even ushering. Now, all these things, I think we read last week from the book of Romans, they're giftings. Not everybody can be an usher. Not everybody can, smile and welcome people. No, not everybody can do that. There are some people that is like, man, to get a smile out of their face, you have to like really, pump them up. So it doesn't come natural to them. So if you made those kind of guys or women ushers, people will be scared. They were like, oh, let me know. But there are people who are just warm naturally. And even if they're not warm naturally, God can make them like that. So what I'm saying is that every single one of us, in the context of godliness, what God wants us to do, God gifts us in those areas as well. Now, why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this because anything that we want to do in this life or anything we want to do in the church, let's not look at it from the context of, I can't do this. First, even if that's where you are, the next thing you want to say, okay, is this thing I want to do, I don't feel I have the natural ability to do it. However, God can gift you to do those things. Even the simple things. Do you understand? Even the littlest things, God can gift you to do those things. Now, so I've looked at natural talent versus the supernatural gift of God. I've looked at why are we gifted. Now, the next thing I want to look at is neglecting our gifts. Neglecting our gifts. Now, the reason, and this one is a bit dire, if I can use that word. How does Jesus view people that neglect their gift? Why do people even neglect their gift? Well, the first thing I want to say, which is a general thing, is a lot of people are not even aware that they are gifted. I tell you. A lot of people just are not aware that they can be gifted in a particular area. They're not aware. I remember there was this man I think I was watching the television, and this man wanted to play the piano or something, but he just really didn't give it thought at all. But this one was like a real supernatural one. And suddenly, I think his pastor or something just said, you know what, mentioned his name, said, go to the piano now and please play me a tune. And the guy, I don't know what happened to him. He went, never learned the piano, nothing. And he started playing. And I saw the interview on TV, so it wasn't something that someone told me. And he just started playing. He couldn't believe it. Do you understand? So that's a bit extreme. It doesn't happen all the time like that. I remember that when I was learning to play the guitar, it took me great hardship to play. So that didn't happen for me like that. But what I'm saying is that sometimes we're not aware we have these gifts. Another thing as well is, for us as human beings, we neglect oftentimes God's purpose for our life. Now, let's turn to the book of Mark chapter 8, verse 36. Mark chapter 8, verse 36. It says, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Neglecting our gift. So this is saying that there's the tendency for a lot of us to focus on everything else but God. And it happens to everybody. When we wake up in the morning, it's like, man, I have to do this, I have to do that. Morning, afternoon, evening, before you know it, oh, it's bedtime again. You sleep. The next day, everything just goes so quickly. And at times, we don't pause to say, look, what do I have to do in God? What is God really? What's my life in the context of God's plan? So that's why the Bible is saying here that what will he profit a man if he gains the whole world, but from a spiritual perspective, from God's plan for that person, they don't fulfill it. I remember a long time ago, there was this man that I admire so much. And this man, he'd done so much in the industry that I work in computing industry. Very, very accomplished man. He did so many things. And the man died before, I think he was ill or something, then he died. And that was the end of it. And I had thought to myself, what's going to become of this man? Yes, he has lived and he has contributed to this particular industry. But after a while, 5 years, people will still remember him. 10 years, people will remember him. If he's lucky, 50 years, people will remember him. But 100 years, 1,000 years, that's it. So what we're saying is that in terms of our everyday life, we should do those things we do, but we should also be conscious that there's something that God wants us to do as well. Do you understand? There's something that God wants us to do in the context of the church. All right. So the other thing we want to look at, neglecting our gifts, Matthew chapter 25, verse 24 to 30. But let's just look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 24 to 30. Neglecting our gifts. Matthew chapter 25, verse 24 to 30. And this is, I'm not going to read the whole thing. Jesus was given a parable about a man that had talent. And Matthew chapter 25, 24, 30. I'm not going to read everything. I'm just going to refer to verse 26. Now, Jesus said something to this man. He said, this was a man that God gave talent and he did nothing with it. And do you know what Jesus said about this man in this parable? He said, he called him in this parable. He says, his master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Now, this isn't a very palatable thing, but Jesus told this man, this parable of the talents, the end of this man, so this man had a gift and he said, look, he just kept it. He didn't do anything with it. He just wanted to go about his normal business, and he was referred to as a wicked and a lazy servant. And I thought to myself, hang on, isn't this a bit harsh? At least the man didn't do anything bad. You know, he just did his normal activities, but he just, you know, maybe just neglected the gift a bit. But in God's eyes, he found it very serious. And he called the man wicked and lazy. So this begins to tell us that God expects us to use our gifts that he places in us. He doesn't expect us to just leave it dormant. Do you understand? So that's what this is telling us. Now, I'll look at one or two more things, then we'll close. So I've looked at natural talent versus God's supernatural gift. Why are we gifted, neglecting our gifts? Then knowing and increasing in our gifts. How do we know our giftings? How do we begin to say, okay, look, this is what God wants me to do, or where do I start? Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, which we looked at earlier. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And the part I want to look at, it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So the part I want to look at is, it says, through our knowledge of him. Through our knowledge of him. Now, it's so simple, this what this thing is telling us. It's telling us that the way you know, or the way you begin to walk in God's gifting, is through your knowledge of God. Through your knowledge of God. Now, what does that mean? How do we gain the knowledge of God? For example, we're all here today. We're having this meeting. We're reading the Bible. We do Bible study. Maybe you read the Bible at home or something. As you do that, and as we do that together, something will begin to happen to you that you might not notice. And that thing that will begin to happen to you is that you begin to have certain desires. It might be that, okay, wow, at least I come to the meetings now. I think let me be an usher here. Simple, right? Or sometimes you might be dragged to a particular place. But after they've dragged you there, you're like comfortable with it. So it might be like, oh, I don't think I want to do this projector thing. And they say, no, you do the projector. And you just struggle. And after a while, you're like, oh, this is not bad after all. Or it might be that you're the kind of person that you just love smiling to people. And maybe you're not an usher or anything, but when people come, you're warm to them. You're like, you really want to see them established in the house. So what I'm saying is that will happen as we know more about God, as we determine in our hearts to say, look, I want to know more about God. You read the Bible as best as you can. You come to the meeting. As you do that, something will begin to happen to you. Opportunities will begin to arise in the context of the church that you can help with. And it might seem like it's a simple thing. It might seem like, look, it's no big deal. I'm just doing this little thing. But that little thing that you're doing is the first step. It's stepping towards really walking in the giftings that God has placed in you. So these giftings, some of them will not work outside of the church. So someone might be gifted in doing something, but they don't attend any church at all. Some people will say, I'll just do church in my house. No, you can't do church in your house by yourself. You can't do it by yourself. But as we gather together and as we study the word and as we know God more, our giftings are exposed. Now, the final step is this, entering into God's giftings. And I'll close here, then we'll just pray. Now, the first thing, I distinguished between natural talent and God's supernatural gifting. Now, to enter into God's giftings, to begin to enter fully into God has for you, the first thing that anybody must be is, if we look at the book of John chapter 3, verse 3. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus said, in reply, he declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. I'll explain what that means in a minute. John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12. It says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So this is saying that, look, someone can be coming to church meetings, but they don't enter the kingdom of God. because they're not born again. So what does that mean? Let's look at Acts chapter 3, verse 29 to 32. Acts chapter 3, verse 29 to 32. Peter said something there. Now, he said, to be born again, he says, now. So Acts 3, 29 to 32. Isn't that? Okay, let me just search it out in my... Okay, there's no 29. It's actually 19. Sorry, Acts 3:19. So Acts 3:19, it says, repent, then turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. Times of refreshing may come to you. So the simple term of being born again is... Peter was saying that one has to do two things. One, repent. That means turn away, have a heart of repentance. Turn away from one's own sin, but it doesn't stop there. There are people who will say, oh, I'm so sorry for my sin and all, but it doesn't stop there. He says, once one does that, it's now to turn to God. And as we repent and as we turn to God and accept Christ as our Savior, the one that has paid for our sins, that is what it means to be born again. That is the first step of accomplishing God's gifts for us. So in rounding up, I just want to say that for every one of us that is here and everyone that will be here in the future, my job as a pastor, one of my roles, is not just to preach, but again, to show us that for each and every one of us, God has a gifting in us. There's something that God has brought you to this church for. You haven't come to this church by chance. Do you understand? You could have been in South Africa or Namibia, but you're not. You're here in Bristol. Do you understand? God has brought you here for a purpose. And I believe that purpose, only you can fulfill it. And I believe that God has gifted you to do that. In Jesus' name. Let's rise up together and pray.